Robert Schnees, the author of Five Practices for Fruitful Congregations, recalls this story about a congregation who was excellent in hospitality, and it steadily grew for years, only to see their attendance leveling off. And the leadership wondered, well, what changed? So they go to some of those folks who have most recently engaged with the church, only to discover that while they do consider them a welcoming congregation, very hospitable at the front door and into worship, that same attitude of welcome did not permeate the middle doors, those doors into Sunday school classes, small groups, choirs, committees. One woman said, "Before I moved here, I was the kitchen chief in my previous church for years. I didn't expect to do that again here, but I hoped to join the cooking team. So when I showed up to help with a dinner, they handed me napkins and told me to put them on the table. And then I stood around by myself the rest of the evening. I felt like they didn't need me or maybe want me." Schnee's comments, leaders discovered that the front door was working well, as people felt invited and welcomed. But then they were slipping out the back door because too many of the middle doors were closed tight. It reminds me back to an undergraduate class on religions of the Far East. We learned a little bit about the basic rules of feng shui, that Far Eastern philosophy for organizing and arranging space. And upon entering a room through an open door, you should not immediately be faced with another open door, lest your energy will be liable just to keep going through that door, like people straight through the church. So, we have decided to name and claim this forming faith as one of our core values. This value reflects the renaming, rebranding maybe, of the Sunday school hour as Faith Formation Hour. This value says that you want to be about forming, which to me is an awfully active word, connoting a lot of your participation in the development of faith. And so for such active participation by the whole congregation in forming faith, what needs to be open? Those middle doors. Maybe some of you have heard of the seeker-sensitive church movement, popularized by the Willow Creek Church near Chicago and Pastor Bill Hybels. The church was designed to help those people who were new to church in general to have a welcoming and approachable experience, so that churchy language was modified and changed to favor secular vernacular. Music reflected the time and not the tradition. Preaching was simplified so as to explain the most basic of Christian values: love, grace, hope, faith, simplified. Willow Creek boomed and widely became known as the original megachurch. But in 2007, the church conducted a self-examination which suggested that maybe the seeker-sensitive style was a failure. Pastor Bill Hybels said, "We made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have taught people how to read their Bibles, how to do the spiritual practices more aggressively on their own." So as I consider this realization alongside our core value for this morning, I think that Willow Creek discovered What they discovered is that they became more about introducing faith or presenting faith, but possibly stopped short of forming faith. Willow Creek has been hard at work ever since this self-study to shift that culture. So how about us? Are we stopping at introducing faith in our worship? Are our middle doors open for folks to take a deeper step inward into the church and into faith development? We, the Oakton Church of the Brethren, want to claim forming faith as a core value. But we ought to pause just for a moment and consider this word faith a little more deeply. A few weeks ago, my faith formation class found itself stumbling on this word with a couple of different meanings. Theologian Van Harvey says that traditionally there have been two possible meanings for the word faith. One carries a more intellectual meaning of faith, meaning a belief in or an understanding of a dogma, doctrine, strict scripture. It's a heady faith. The other meaning is one of trust, confidence in, loyalty to, which is expressed in our relationship to God and most directly our posture in regard to God's grace. A hearty faith. Both of these meanings are reflected in our scripture this morning from Romans 12. Romans 12:2 clearly names the value in renewing our minds, right? Discerning truth. It sounds an awful lot like the heady part of faith. Thus, faith becomes an exercise of the mind. But in Romans 12:1, we're instructed to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In saying this, Paul is setting up a contrast with that traditional sacrificial system at the temple, and instead, Paul is saying that God does not require those sacrifices, but requires your living sacrifice, your whole self. That's your spiritual worship, Paul says. But the Greek word there, meaning spiritual, can also be translated reasonable. So my articulation of this text would be something more along these lines. God does not desire your sacrifices of animals and harvest, but rather, the only reasonable response to the greatness that is the good news of Christ is to turn over your whole self to God in worship. It sounds an awful lot like the heart side of faith, doesn't it? In faith, head and heart, they collide. In a core value like forming faith, our heads and our hearts are both put to work. Since the founding of the Brethren, the head and heart components of faith have always been there, though certainly sometimes one is overlooked in favor of the other. Brethren theologian and former Bethany Seminary professor Dale Brown tells this story. At Bethany Theological Seminary, a director of an evangelical youth movement enrolled in an evening Bonhoeffer seminar. She was an off-campus minister and had never encountered the Brethren before. Her journal disclosed that the class aroused her curiosity. But in a small group setting, she just came out and asked, "What do the Brethren believe?" She received an equivocal answer from a fellow student, "You can believe anything you want and still be Brethren." She was not impressed, and the professor was not pleased either. But that little story illustrates the heart overpowering the mind, maybe, and that competition that exists in our tradition between the two. And while we maintain that non-creedal community, we remain so not because we don't agree on believing in anything, but because the New Testament is that rule of faith and practice that we commit to studying dutifully. On the other hand, our radical pietist roots hold our overthinking in check, reminding us that faith is also to be felt, to experience. In forming faith, we commit head and heart, teaching truth and doctrine and scripture, as well as building a heart-to-heart relationship with God and learning how our gifts can contribute to that relationship. Now, the way this core value is written lists several ways we can go about accomplishing it within the church. Inspiring worship applied to our daily life by preaching, praying, scripture, music, giving, sharing, through worship, Bible study, small groups, service, and fellowship. That list is a wonderful blend of head and heart. All opportunities for forming faith. But if forming faith is to be an active, participatory endeavor that is more than introducing or presenting faith, then we cannot be satisfied with a passive participation in the church. This is where this value becomes maybe aspirational. It's easy to passively participate when I'm preaching, isn't it? It can also be easy to passively participate in a Bible study or a service project. Robert Canast, in his little book, Making Faith Sense, challenges churchgoers to actively connect the dots between scripture readings, church doctrines, worship music, service programs, with those difference-making meanings in your life, our collective life. When faith makes meaning in the churchgoer's life, that's a sign that the middle doors have been open and working. When people can ask and answer a question like, what difference does it make? What does the scripture do in my life? Then faith is forming. The Romans 12 text for today continues into a list of gifts in the body of Christ: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, leadership, compassion. When we work diligently at forming faith or making meaning of our faith, we discover our giftedness from God. And then in this ongoing effort of forming faith, which will never end, we become far from passive participants in the experience, but people who are fully engaged, head and heart, learning to participate in this dance with God and faith according to the gifts that we have been called. Amen.